For those of you that know, don't know who I am, my name is Jeff Keighley. I am the Apprentice Campus Minister for CIA Tampa. And a part of what I get an honor and privilege to do is I get to travel to different campus ministries throughout the nation. And in September, I had the honor and privilege to visit the campus ministry run by our next speaker, who is Carrie Cox. And when I say it was an honor to learn from Carrie Cox, that is no exaggeration. He sets the standard, in my opinion, for campus ministers. The enthusiasm and the energy and the straight up drive that this man has is something that I wish to be able to replicate in my own life and my own spiritual walk as a minister. When I got to come up and be with you guys, it's great to see a lot of faces that I recognize from my time in St. Louis, but it's also really great, especially great to see faces that I don't recognize, to see you guys come down and visit us. We have the privilege to fellowship with one another. And again, there is no greater honor than learning from somebody like Carrie Cox. Part of my training, I will have to shave my head. And I feel that it's only necessary. It's going to happen. I feel it's only necessary that after learning from Carrie, that I get a vein tattooed on my forehead. But I don't have one. But again, there is no man I respect as much as Carrie Cox. And with that, I'd offer you to come up here. I'll pray over you as you speak, before you speak, and let's have a good old time as we kick off family vacation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for giving us a brother like Carrie Cox, who is the driving force that is so awesome for ACB and Lindenwood, Lord. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to learn from him and to take what he has to offer and add it to my own spiritual walk. Lord, I ask that you make Carrie shut up today and let God speak through him. And let God's words be known to us here, that we get an opportunity to grow from what Carrie has to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Someone out there? All right. So, you know how some things that when you hear them or you see, when you hear or see them, they just don't make sense. And, you know, I was thinking about just different things that I see. Sometimes I'm like, that just looks wrong. It doesn't make sense. Or you hear it and you're like, that doesn't seem quite right. And I was thinking about some of those things, and I was thinking about, like, when Jeff got up there and he's talking, I know myself better than Jeff does. And you hear that and you're like, that just doesn't make sense. That's not, something's not right about that. It's like kind of when you meet Anna Walker and then you find out she's married to Mark. You know, and you're like, I couldn't resist. I had to get it. And then you find out that their son is Vince. And you're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? And Mark is so much cooler than Vince. And I just said that because Vince asked me not to mention that his dad was Mark. So I had to get all that out on the table. You know, as we kicked around ideas for what we wanted to do for family vacation, and as we thought about doing... That's really loud to me. Is that as loud to me as it is to you guys? All right. As we kicked around ideas for when we started family vacation, you know, last year was the first year that we did it. And we really did want to have a weekend where we could refocus as campus ministries that were going on campus to make disciples. We wanted to refocus as campus ministries who wanted to be able to go onto our campuses, and we wanted to show people that all of Christianity is not full of hypocrisy, and not all of Christianity is dead, and not all of Christianity is lame. That the Christianity that God designed us to be a part of is a relationship with Him. And we wanted to have a weekend where we could really focus on that. And last year we had Love on the Beach here in Pensacola. And it was a fun weekend. And I think we learned a lot. And I think our ministries got closer to one another and closer to God because of that weekend. And so when we started talking about what is it that we want to focus on this year? What is it that as campus ministries that we see as a need or maybe as a weakness in our groups? And we started kicking around ideas, well, we got to make it fit with family vacation somehow, because, you know, you got to be cute with your titles and stuff like that, right? So we were like, you know, we were kicking around, and I think, it might have been Carol. Was it Carol? Are we there yet? Was that Carol's? I think it was. Carol's like, we should do Are We There Yet? And we started talking about, well, what are we going to talk about with Are We There Yet? And what's it going to be about? And we started kicking around different lesson titles. And I think this is an extremely important family vacation. I think this sets a foundation for what we're going to do for years to come. And Are We There Yet this year is about making sure that we understand what spiritual maturity is all about. That we understand that we are supposed to be people who are on a journey. And it's a long, tough, hard journey. And our goal in this journey is to become like Jesus. That's what we are supposed to be doing. But the sad thing is that a lot of times as you look across Christianity, I was reading a study by the Barna Group. And if you know who the Barna Group is, they do studies like crazy about churches and religion and all kinds of things. And there was something that really scared the Barna Group, and it was that almost no one that they surveyed could define spiritual maturity. Almost no one who they talked to could define where there is. No one could say, this is what it means to be a spiritually mature man or woman of God, let alone be a spiritually mature man or woman of God. And as they looked at it, they said, there's a real problem in Christianity whenever we're supposed to be becoming something, but we have no clue what it is that we're supposed to be becoming. And as men and women of God, as people who, when you were baptized into Christ, you said, I am surrendering my life, and from this point forward, I'm going to live my life for and to be like Jesus Christ. And that's what we said we were going to do, but a lot of times we've forgotten what our mission and our goal and our purpose in the first place was. And it's really sad to look out and see that we could be so much farther along in this journey than where we are. And we look around and we say, are we there yet? And the sad thing is we have to look at our lives spiritually and our maturity levels and how much like Christ we are. And we have to say, no, we're not there. As a matter of fact, in a lot of cases we look and we say, man, I'm almost depressed with where I am on this journey. And I started thinking about spiritual maturity and what it means to grow up and become what you're supposed to be. And I started thinking about some families that we know who have children who are mentally handicapped, who are retarded. And I started thinking about those families, and I started reading about retardation and about handicaps of all different kinds. And one of the things that I kept coming across time after time after time and reading about parents of these children are that they deal with deep depression. And I started thinking about, like, well, why would that be? Why is it that they would deal with so much depression? And I started thinking, you know, whenever I had my kids, well, what did I want my kids to be? See, when you have a child, you start dreaming about 20 years down the road like that. You start thinking of all the amazing things that your son or your daughter is going to become. And I do that still for Jackson and Kennedy and for Lincoln. And I look at them and I say, man, I can't wait for the day. I'll even sit down with them and talk to them. And I was talking to Lincoln about this the other day, and Lincoln's, you know, 3 months old. I'm like, Lincoln, dude, someday you're going to go to a university, and you're going to make a huge difference on that campus. And I start dreaming about the things that they're going to do, and he's like, you know, he's like slobbering on himself, and he's drooling everywhere, and I feel like I was having a conversation with one of my students. And, you know, it's like, as I look at it, he has no clue what I'm talking about. I already have in my head what he's supposed to be. And what happens a lot of in so many cases is a parent will have a child and they already, before that baby comes out of the mama, they already have plans and dreams and a vision of what this child's life could be like. But then the baby comes out sometimes and they find out that there's a problem. And they find out that their baby is handicapped in some way or another. And it does not change their love for that baby whatsoever. But they're disheartened because they look and they say, man, the dream that I had for this baby has just been stifled because this baby isn't going to be able to live a normal lifestyle. He's not going to do the things that I thought he was going to do. And these parents deal with deep depression. Not only do they deal with the depression, but my mom used to work at Beverly Farms. And one of the problems at Beverly Farms is a home for mentally handicapped adults. One of the problems that they face at Beverly Farms is depression amongst the mentally handicapped people there because they know that they should be something different than what they are, but they can't get there. And so they look, and it's so frustrating. And it sends them into fits because they just want to be able to communicate so badly, or they want to be able to accomplish this task, but there's something wrong up here that doesn't allow it to happen. And parents look at that, they're like, oh man, I wanted something so much different. I wanted something so much more for my child. But my child is never gonna make it to this vision or this goal I had. And the thing that I fear is that God looks down at our campus ministries and he says, man, oh man, this person's going to become a Christian. And after they become a Christian, it's going to be so neat because what's going to happen is they're going to go into their classes and they're going to go into their dorms and they're going to go into their teachers and the faculty and staff of the university are going to look at them and they're going to be a light and they're going to transform that campus. And they're going to make disciples. And they're going to teach those people to go out and do the same thing. And then they're going to take out church plants and campus ministry plants. And it's just going to explode and it's going to be all over the world. I can't wait to see it happen. And then the baby comes and you're born again and you come out and you stay the baby you were for 15 years. And just like that parent that looks and says, man, I'm so frustrated. It's so hard to see this baby that I wanted to grow up and do this not be able to do that. And the sad thing is that that parent and that baby have no control over whether or not that baby accomplishes those things or that baby's able to become those things. But when God looks at you and I, he says, I've given you everything you need to become a full-fledged adult who says, I'm becoming what God designed me to be. And he says, you know, this is within your realm of control. You can get on the road, you can be on the journey to becoming like Christ, and you can be making progress. But I want you to start thinking about your life, and I want you to honestly ask yourself, when Jesus looks at you, is he happy with the progress you're making on the journey? When you ask the question, am I there yet? Be honest about it this weekend, because unless you realize where you're at, you're not going to get where you want to go. And so we've got to say, man, when he looks at me, is it a look of a father who is looking anticipation? You know, when I watch Jackson and Kennedy, they come up to campus sometimes and I watch them interact with our college students and just students on the campus. And I get so excited thinking about what they're going to do when they get on the college campus because they're already helping me in my ministry right now. And they know it. This isn't something like with my daughter Kennedy. It's not an accidental thing that she is doing ministry. She has kids at church with her all the time from her school. And I watch her and I hear her ask me questions about people we meet on campus. And I dream and I look for that. And I'm like, she's going to do it. She's going to do it. And I'm so proud. I'm so proud to see her doing those things and interacting with purpose because she's becoming like Jesus. And she's on that road. That's how I want, after this weekend, I want you to be able to know that's how God's viewing you. That your dad's out there looking at you and saying, man, you know what, he's not quite there yet, but man, he's on a journey, and he's making progress. He's growing. She's growing into an amazing man or woman of God. I don't want you to walk away from this weekend having to say, man, my daddy is so disappointed. He's so upset because I've become spiritually retarded, and I haven't grown past the point when I was baptized. I'm no more deep now than I was then. I don't make better decisions now. I don't obey better now. I don't... any of those things. This weekend is about helping you realize and helping you see where you're at on the journey. Are you there yet? And it's about helping you wake up to some of the realities and say, hey, I need to take my spiritual growth and my spiritual maturity a lot more seriously than what I have. And as you look throughout the Bible, it's very clear over and over and over again that God wants us to grow and mature. In Hebrews 6, in verse 1 and verse 3, in a couple different sections of it, it says, we must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. Let's grow up if God is willing. Do you think he put that, if God is willing, there because he really wondered if God wanted us to grow spiritually or not? Or do you think he put it there to say, hey, God is willing that you will grow up and you'll become a mature man or woman. Don't ever put the blame on God whenever you're not growing spiritually. Because he's given you what you need. The Bible says he's giving us everything we need. And it says, and as you look at what Paul says, we must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. And I think about my ministry and I think about other ministries that I've run into, and sometimes we are just so shallow and so immature. And sometimes I look at our ministry at ACB, and we have a very exciting ministry. It's a ministry that I think is very easy to be excited about. But if all we've got is excitement and we don't have any depth, we're not going to accomplish anything. Yeah, we'll have spurts of success here and there, but it won't last. Unless we start rooting ourselves deeper, unless we start looking and saying, we must try to become mature. Let's grow up. Let's take our relationships with God seriously. Let's take some personal responsibility for my growth. Let's grow up and let's become mature. In Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 16, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. He says this: "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." And you look at this and he says, listen, we don't want to any longer be like immature children. He says, this will continue until we come to unity in our faith so that we can be mature, that we can measure up to the full standard of Christ. You want to know where there is? It's measuring up to the full standard of Christ. It's becoming like Jesus Christ. It's having Jesus in your heart and in your soul. And it's living like he's there. And it's becoming more and more like him on a daily basis so that we can measure up to the fullness of Christ. And we'll no longer be immature like children. I really am afraid that when Jesus looks at our church, at the church in general now, he looks and says, man, what are you doing? You're not measuring up to the fullness of Christ. You're not taking your spiritual growth seriously. You're still immature like children. And we've got to learn that whenever we are immature like that, that there are some very negative things that take place. We're not able to do what God wanted us to do here on earth. You know, Jackson and Kennedy, they are awesome kids. And like I said, I'm so excited about what God's going to do, but if they don't grow deeper, they'll never do those things. As a matter of fact, the friends that Kennedy brings to church now, if she doesn't grow up and become more mature in Christ, those friends won't get the help they need. If she doesn't grow up and be more mature in Christ, she's not going to be a benefit to her brothers and sisters in Christ. There's so many of those things that she won't be able to do. And as a dad, I'm saying, please, please, Kennedy, please take your relationship with God seriously. And I'm begging all of us here this weekend, please take your spiritual growth, take the journey of following Jesus more seriously than what we have been. All of us have got to look at that and say, I've got to do something different. I need to change. You see, when I'm growing spiritually, it increases my ability to do several things. First of all, it increases my ability to make wise choices. You know, when you think about little kids, they don't think before they do anything. They just do. They're crazy. They will do the wildest things without thinking about it at all. And my son Jackson, he will jump off of anything and he won't know what's on the other side of it. He doesn't care that my brand new surround sound receiver is sitting there and he's gonna jump off the couch onto the other couch. He doesn't make wise choices. And in our lives, we've gotta understand when I'm growing spiritually, it increases my ability to make wise choices. I won't make some of the stupid choices that I normally would have made. And I look at college students and I look at my ministry. And there are times that I look and I'm like, how can they make such a bad decision? And I've talked to some of your campus ministers over the past year. And we've talked and we're like, I don't get it. How can they make such bad decisions and get themselves involved in such stupid, harmful things? Things that are going to destroy their relationship with God. Well, the answer is that we're spiritually immature. We're like children. And until we grow up in our relationship with God, until we grow to become more like Jesus, we'll continue to make those bad decisions. When you look at the book of Proverbs, when you look at the Bible in general, how often does it talk about wisdom? How often does it lift it up and say, man, wisdom is something that you should desire, that you should fight for, that you should ask God for. It's something that will change your life. If you can learn to make wise decisions, God will bless your life like you never could have imagined. But when we're really shallow in Christ, we don't have the knowledge to make good decisions. We can't apply knowledge that we don't have. Isn't that what wisdom is? It's the application of knowledge. Whenever we're so shallow in Christ and we look at situations like, well, what should I do with this? But we don't know God's word. We don't know his will whatsoever. We just make some decision and go on it. And God looks at us and says, how can you make such a bad decision? Because you're not deepening yourself in me. You're not mature. In Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says you can't make good decisions. Meat is for mature and helps you distinguish between good and evil. I'm really tired of some of the stupid, petty arguments we have about what's right and wrong whenever it comes to campus ministry. I'm tired of arguing with students about, should I do this, should I not do this? And you're going to have a class that's going to be tomorrow, on Sunday, that's going to be about that. And it's going to be really good. But let me tell you something. A lot of times the reason you have a hard time making decisions and you're like, man, I don't know. Well, is it wrong? Does that mean it's really bad? And you have such a hard time distinguishing between good and evil is because you're still, as my friends would have put it back in the day, you're still sucking on Similac. All right? You know what Similac is? It's formula. You know what formula is? It's a replacement for breast milk. All right? You're still sucking on Similac. We haven't grown in our faith. The Bible says that we've got to get to the meat. And the way that you get to the meat is by following Jesus. The way that you get to the meat is by getting into your word and saying, I need to grow and deepen myself. Where is there? Well, there is when you're able to start moving on to meat. You know, right now, Hannah was talking the other day, and she gets like this daily thing for babies, and it gives you like tips, and it says, your baby is so many days old, and it can do this now, but don't, whatever you do, feed it solid foods. And you know, the other day, she reads that to me, your baby is not ready for solid foods. And that's because she didn't want me cutting up a piece of steak, because, you know, I'm not exactly the brightest guy in the world, and I love steak, so I might give my three-month-old baby some steak. You know, she's like, don't do it. The baby's not ready for steak. He hasn't progressed. He hasn't grown. And that's fine and that's normal for a three-month-old baby. And that's fine and that's normal for a baby in Christ. But when you've been a Christian for years and you still haven't gotten beyond milk, something's not right. You want to know why you can't distinguish between good decisions and bad ones, between good and evil? You want to know why you can't make a decision based on what's not just permissible but what's beneficial? The reason is because we're shallow in our knowledge of the Word of God. We haven't moved beyond the milk. And God says it's time to move beyond these petty little discussions and arguments that we have and move to meat. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes and he says, we won't be tossed and blown about. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us. And I think about how many different times I've watched as campus students that I've worked with. It seems like every single wind blows them around. One person, they'll be with the campus ministry and they'll be doing fine. And then they go home to visit and everything goes to crap when they get home because they're not mature enough, they're not deep-rooted enough in Christ to be able to stand up against the winds that knock them around. They're not able to make those wise decisions because they're still drinking milk of God's word because they haven't taken the time to get in and grow in him. And they're fine when they're around the campus ministry kids until they get to their dorm or start hanging out with the people that they used to go to high school with. Or you fill in the blank what it is for you. What are you fine until the winds start tossing you about? You want to know why that takes place? Because we're not there yet. And some of us, the problem isn't that we're not there. Some of us, the problem with us isn't that we're slow, it's that we're stationary. We're just stuck. We're not trying to move. You want to know why our churches all across our brotherhood are dying and closing their doors like crazy? Because we have people who became Christians when they were in high school and college and they're stuck. And they're still drinking milk. And let me tell you, an adult body is not going to survive on just breast milk. No, not going to go there. It's not going to happen. We've got to grow beyond the milk. And we've got to get to the meat. We've got to learn how to make wise decisions. When I'm growing spiritually, it increases my ability to make wise decisions, which make me be able to stand more firmly, which make me be able to go home and set a good example. You know, there's one guy in our campus ministry that I think about that really sticks out in my mind. And it seemed like every time this guy would go home, he would get involved with stupid junk from with his friends. Every time he would come back, we'd be like, how'd you do? And he'd say, well, yeah, I was drinking with my buddies, and I was doing this with my buddies. And I'm like, why? And he was so spiritually immature. But I've watched him over the past year. He moved into another cell, and he's grown tremendously. And he's grown in his knowledge, and he's grown in his wisdom. And this time when he came back, we said, hey, Trent.
Sorry, Trent.
We said, you know, how was your trip home? Well, you know, I had a couple small issues and stuff, but it was different. And we get to hear Trent tell us about how, for the first time, someone helped his mom clean up their dinner table. The first time. And we get to hear him talk about how his mom was dumbfounded. And how his family they're really starting to notice a difference in him. How that he's not blown around by every wind. That he's not tricked by every lie. And he's not going out with the same people that he went out with before. And he's starting to make wiser decisions. And he's connected himself with a group of men in his small group. And he's connected himself with Ben. And he's connecting himself more with the Word of God. And he's starting to grow and mature. And he's starting to be able to stand more strong because of that. Is Trent there yet?
No.
And it takes big guys a little longer to get there sometimes. You know, Trent's not there yet. He's not there yet, but he's making progress. He may be slow, but he's not stationary, right? Like we talked about. He's making progress, and he's able to make wiser decisions because of that. You know, when I'm growing spiritually, it increases my ability to make wise choices, but it also increases my ability to make a difference in my family. And when I say that, I mean my church and my family. You know, my lesson, we're talking about why there matters. It matters because you need to be able to make wise decisions. But you getting there matters not only for you. You know, for that first point, when you think about why does getting there matter? Well, it matters because I need to make wise decisions, because if I make bad ones, then I'm going to screw up my life and I'll never have anything good. But if I make wise decisions, then I'm going to have a great life and God's going to be able to bless me. And it's going to be something really good, and it's really easy to become selfish like that. But we've got to understand, there matters not only for you, but there matters for your family. It matters for the family that you love and care for, as your parents and your brothers and your sisters and your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and your grandparents. It matters for them that you get to where God wants you and needs you to be. And it also matters for your spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. There matters. Whenever we start thinking that it doesn't matter if we're growing and maturing, and if we're moving forward in our relationship with God, and we're getting deeper, when you think that doesn't matter, you are screwing your family, your spiritual and your physical family over. And you're damaging them. And I think about how many different college students I've seen come through the campus ministry, and I've seen some of them come, and they're not growing and deepening in their relationship with God. They don't think their matters. And I see them come to me and they're like, I just don't get it. I don't know why my family isn't changing. Why are they not becoming Christians? Why are they not? Well, because it hasn't changed you. It hasn't. You don't take it seriously. You don't take your spiritual growth seriously. Yeah, they maybe see you make one or two little adjustments in your life, but they don't see you taking seriously the call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ who becomes like him. And they're so frustrated because they just can't get their family to get it. And I'm thinking, the problem is that you don't get it. If you got it, if you were getting there, your family would be as well. Now, we all know that they have a choice to make themselves. But let me tell you, it helps a lot when you're becoming a deep man or woman of God. When you're becoming like Jesus, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to be effective at helping others do that. Doesn't that just make sense? You can't take someone somewhere that you're not going, that you haven't been. But then on the other hand, I get to watch and I get to see people like Melissa. Melissa Graham, where is Melba at? Hey, giggle farts. Melissa is a girl who, when we met her, she was a crazy girl. I'm for real. Crazy. Where's Ryan at? Ryan. Emotionally, like, not right, right? Yeah. Unbalanced. You know, we could go on and on if you want, Mel. But when we met Mel, seriously, sometimes I would just be like, why are you freaking out? Relax. And over the past few years, Mel's another cool story that I've got to see. Mel's someone who looks and they and she's realized, man, when I grow spiritually, it increases my ability to make a difference in my family. And she hasn't been perfect in it, and she hasn't done everything right, but she's consistently grown and changed and moved forward in the journey, in this journey. And I, this year we got to see her little sister become a Christian. Woo! And that was an awesome thing. And I, you know, when Mel was telling us, you know, it was so cool just to hear how excited she was that her little sister was going to have a relationship with God. And it was cool for me because I know her sister's not going to be stuck somewhere. She's not going to be stuck in this rut and not grow spiritually because she has an older sister setting a great example. And then right after her sister becomes a Christian, she calls me one night crying. And her brother had called her, and her brother was looking to her for some spiritual help and some physical help. And I honestly don't believe that would have happened if Mel was the same Mel she would have been 5 years ago. If Mel was the same Mel she was 5 years ago, her sister wouldn't have wanted to have anything to do with it. Her brother would have never thought, oh man, who do I need to call when I'm having a hard time? Oh yeah, emotionally insecure and unstable Mel, can you please come to my rescue? No. She increased her ability to help her family because she's growing spiritually. Some of you, your hearts are breaking. I know they are because you want your family to have something different. If you want them to have something different, show them something different. Show them why they should desire it. Show them why that they should want it. There matters. It matters for your family that's lost. And it matters for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I look back, you know, there are certain things that I look back on in my walk with God that I can look back and I can say, I'm really proud to be a part of this or that. I look back when we were at Greater Alton in the campus ministry when I was still in Illinois. I'm really proud of the campus ministry. I thought it was just something so cool to be a part of, and I screwed a lot of stuff up, you know. But I think if I look back at my spiritual maturity then, and I look and I say, man, if I would have just wanted it more, if I would have been more serious, if I would have dug deeper, if I would have tried to root myself more deeply, that campus ministry could have been even so much more. But then I look back, and there are other times that I look and I'm like, man, I should have done things a lot differently than what I did. And I look back at high school, and I look back at the fact that I had several of my friends become Christians in high school. And several of them that I love, like you guys, I can't even explain it. I love them to death. And I look at my relationship with God then, and Jess is looking at me like, here he's about to cry. I saw you. You know, I look back then, and I look and I say, man, if growing spiritually increases my ability to make a difference in my family and my brothers and sisters, I don't think I did a very good job with those guys. With Marlon, Cameron, Tim, and James, and my relationship with them, I know that they've made their decision, but I also know that me not taking things more seriously in my relationship with God had an effect on them. And I have to be willing to look and say, you know, if I would have taken seriously my relationship with God, if I would have followed Jesus like I was supposed to be following him in a way that I wasn't drudging along, or if I would have been running after Jesus, wanting to be like him, wanting to be mature in him, I can honestly tell you, I think that at least two of those guys would still be here. I think there's a much, much more strong possibility that they would be here today than not. And I think that some of you have got to look and you have to realize that, yeah, ultimately they have their decision, but we bear some of the burden of responsibility for our brothers and sisters who walk away from Christ. And we bear some burden of responsibility for brothers and sisters in Christ that are in our campus ministry that aren't growing whatsoever. Because when I'm growing spiritually, it increases my ability to make a difference in my church family. When you look at what Paul has to say about it, he says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And you look at that and you're like, yeah, he says right there, you know, they all grow together and they do these things. And everything goes well because of it. But if you notice, he says, he made us to fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Well, the problem is that sometimes our bodies don't function correctly, right? You ever had a body part malfunction? Who's had a body part malfunction? Who's had an appendix taken out or something taken out? Who's had the most drastic thing? Anybody? Anybody had a body part malfunction?
Thank you.
You know, sometimes they don't function correctly. Well, what happens when that body part doesn't function correctly? They cut it off, right? You know, in some cases they do that, or they cut it out. And you know, sometimes it's funny because have you ever had a doctor tell you, oh yeah, you should go ahead and have your gallbladder removed because it doesn't really do anything anyway. Anybody ever had a doctor tell them that? Anybody ever had your gallbladder removed? Make a difference? Everybody that I've talked to that's had their gallbladder removed, they use the bathroom way more than us normal folk. And now they're starting to find out more and more that it still does do some things in your body. And when body parts don't work correctly, it affects the rest of the body. When you're not growing in the way that Jesus Christ has called you to grow, when you're not becoming like Him, you're affecting the rest of the body of Christ. You're affecting your brothers and sisters. Some of you have been in your campus ministries for years, and you're still that selfish person who is so consumed with what you can get from the campus ministry rather than being consumed with becoming like Jesus so that you can give to the members of your campus ministry. That's immature. That's childlike. It's time for us to grow up and realize that our actions and the decisions that we make have an impact on our family, on our church family. As each part does its special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If we look at our campus ministries, and again, our campus ministry is really struggling. My campus ministry or my small group or whatever it is, they're really struggling, having a difficult time. I wonder what's wrong with everybody else. Are things ever going to get any better? We've got to take some personal responsibility for our spiritual maturity. And we've got to take some responsibility for understanding that maturity is having Jesus. It's like it's being like Jesus and having Him in our hearts and our souls and becoming what He's called us to be. And when I'm growing spiritually, I can make wise decisions that bless my life. There matters. If you want to have a good life, if you read Jeremiah 29:11-14 and you get all pumped up and you're like, man, He says that He has plans for me and hopes and a promise and some great things in store, then you also need to realize that that's contingent upon things that you do as well. You want that good life? You want to make wise decisions? Grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. There matters. You want to look at your family and say, man, it's so cool that my family who was lost, now my brother and my sister and my aunt and my uncle, my mom and dad, they're Christians now, and that's an amazing thing. You want to be able to do that? You better realize that there matters. You don't want to have to look across here next year. You don't want to be sitting in this group next year and look down the aisle and you remember last year seeing somebody sitting there who isn't here this year because they walked away from the relationship with God. You better realize that there matters. Your spiritual maturity matters. It affects your ability to help your family. And when I'm growing in my spirituality, it increases my ability to make a difference in the lost around me. I don't know how sometimes with the examples that we set, the decisions we make, the immature, childish decisions that we make, we can ever expect or lead the lost around us to Jesus. You know, my daughter has this one friend who I honestly don't understand, even as an 8 or a 9 year old, how she expects to keep friends. Because she is so selfish and so immature, and she just won't grow up in any way. And every time she comes over, we have to sit down with Kenny and say, hey, you gotta remember and think with purpose. You know, we're like, you gotta love her no matter what. You gotta help her realize the way she's acting is wrong. But inside of me, I'm like, Kennedy, kick that friend to the curb. She's selfish and she's immature. She doesn't care about anybody but herself. And she's not going to have any friends when she gets older, Kennedy. And she's not going to make an impact on anybody's life like you're going to if you continue to think about others. And then I think about our campus ministries and I wonder, why is it that we're not growing and reaching people more so than what we are? You know, we're a part, a lot of your campus ministers are a part of a group called Campus Ministry United. And Wes back there has done several studies on campus ministries and what campus ministries are reaching people and things like that. Wes, would you say it's a fair thing to say that the campus ministries that are here are pretty high percentage-wise in the numbers of how many people they're reaching?
At least pack.
Okay, they lead the pack. And that's a cool thing, but how many of you out there are satisfied with how many of your friends became Christians this past year? How many of you are satisfied with the impact that you had in your dorm? How many of you are satisfied with the impact that you had with the kids who you sat next to in class? We've got to realize that there matters because my spiritual growth and growing spiritually increases my ability to make a difference in the lost around me. Luke 6, 39 and 40, he told them this parable, how can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. You can't take someone somewhere you're not. If you're not growing spiritually, you are not going to have great impact on the lost souls around you. If you're not growing spiritually, you are going to make bad decisions, and guess what? People are going to see the bad decisions that you make. You're going to make unwise and foolish decisions if you're not growing spiritually. And people are going to look at your example and they're going to say the same thing they say about so many other campus ministries and so many other Christians. I'm sick and tired of the hypocrisy. I'm sick and tired of the people who say, man, I'm a Christian, but then go do whatever they want. If you're not growing spiritually, that's what you're going to be giving them. If you're not growing spiritually, they're going to see the way you treat your family. And they're going to see the impact you have on your family. And they're going to see the way you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're not going to have a relationship with you or with God. But if you are growing spiritually, you'll be amazed at how God's ability to help you make wise decisions. You'll be amazed at how God's ability to help you have a close relationship with your parents and your brothers and sisters, and have a good relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ while on campus. How many of you here would say that looking at the relationships that the Christians in your campus ministry had was one of the things that drew you to Christ, was seeing the relationships between those people? All right, a lot of them. If you're not growing spiritually, you won't have that relationship. You won't be able to have that same impact on the lost. We've got to understand that there matters. Getting there matters. This weekend, all the lessons that you're going to hear, the keynotes, the lessons tomorrow that are going to deal with very specific pieces of becoming like Jesus, very specific things that you can do to become more mature in Christ, those lessons matter. If you think that you just came here for a weekend just to sit in here and have some fun, you don't understand that there matters. If you think you came here just to see some old friends, you don't understand that there matters. If you came here because you understand that God wants to use you to do amazing things and that you want to grow spiritually, you're starting to get it. And if you'll take seriously the lessons that you hear this weekend, when you leave here, you will be on a journey moving towards becoming more like Christ. And we will have a huge impact on the world around us. But there matters. It's time that we get out of our comfort zones. It's time that we get off of our rears and realize I am responsible for my relationship with God. I'm responsible for growing in Him. And if I'm responsible in that, other people will see that there matters. And they'll want to become like Jesus. And it'll start being passed down, and people's lives will be changed. But we've got to understand that there truly does matter. Ask yourself, are you slow? Are you stationary? Are you running? Where are you at? Honestly, evaluate yourself. Are you getting there? Are we there yet? You know, when we started talking about that, all of your campus ministers understand, none of us are ever actually going to arrive, right? We're not going to be perfect, not here on this earth, that's for sure. It's not going to happen. But just because we're never actually going to arrive doesn't mean that you shouldn't be in the car moving towards the destination. And sometimes the trip is almost as fun as getting there. The trip there, you guys, it drove me crazy. But it was also cool knowing that we had a group of campus people who love God and love each other, and that we would get here eventually, and it was going to be all right. And that's a lot the way our relationship with God is like. We're going to break down. We're going to run out of gas. We're going to, you know, on the journey. But what matters is that we're on the journey. You know, I didn't think, oh, well, the van's having too many problems. Maybe we should just stop here and You know, I'll have my stuff shipped here and we'll just live here on the side of the highway. Didn't cross my mind, right? Didn't cross my mind to think, oh, I guess we're gonna have to go back to Missouri. Right? It's part of being on the journey is realizing we're gonna go through those rough and difficult times, and in this life we're not gonna get there, but eventually we will. And I want God to be able to look at me and say, hey, you know what, you didn't get there, but you sure were on your way. And I want God to be able to look at me like, you know, like I look at my kids and be like, man, it's so cool to see them growing and developing and becoming what God designed them to be and what I dream and hope for them to be. And I can't wait to see them go do these things. And one of my greatest fears is, and Hannah and I have talked about this many times, is looking at our kids getting to high school or our kids becoming teenagers or getting in college and watching their spiritual growth stunt and watching them die in their relationship with God. That's something that Hannah and I were talking about this the other day. I don't know how I could deal with that. I don't know what I would do. And that's the way that God is looking at you. And he's saying, man, I have such awesome plans for you. Please keep moving forward on this journey. Please keep becoming like my son. Please grow spiritually and mature. There matters. Come on, let's get there. Let's get there together. What we're going to do right now is we're about to hand out some papers. And what these papers are designed to do, they're a little survey. And they're designed to be able to help you look at your life and say, am I there? Well, no, I'm not there yet. Well, what are some areas that I need to focus on in order to get more there, in order to become more like Jesus, in order to become what he wants me to be? And we're gonna, first of all, we're gonna hand out a page to you, and it's gonna ask you a bunch of questions, and I think the ratings are 1 through 4. Is that right, Carol? 4, 5? 1 through 4 or 5?
5.
Is it ratings 1 through 4 or 5 or 1 through 4? All right, and it's gonna ask you questions, and you're gonna rate yourself on those things. And as you're looking through this, I want you to be thinking, man, am I there yet? What do I need to work on? What do I need to develop? And so what we're going to do is we're going to hand those out right now, and we're going to give you a few minutes to actually fill those out. And there are two sides to the paper that you're about to get, so don't fill out the front side and think you're done. Otherwise, you're going to get real confused here in a few minutes. Jeff. All right. On the front of this, it says, family vacation, are we there yet? Self-evaluation. Score each statement concerning yourself on a scale of 1 to 4. 1 is almost never, 2 is sometimes, 3 is most of the time, and 4 is almost always. And what you're going to do is you're going to read down through these questions, and you're going to circle the number that applies to you the best. And what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to evaluate yourself honestly and fairly. You see, if you lie to yourself, if you're like, oh yeah, I always do that. Yep, I always keep, you know, and you're not honest, you're never going to get there. There matters, guys. It's really important that you're honest in answering these questions because there matters. It matters for the decisions that you're going to make for your life so that you can have the kind of life that God wants you to. It matters for your family, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it matters for the lost. There matters. So as you fill this out, be honest in doing so. We're going to give you about 5 minutes to look at that and fill it out. The next paper is this green colored paper. And it says, family vacation self-evaluation score sheet. From your evaluation sheet, enter the number 1 through 4 circled next to the question number sign. All right? So when you see it, it's going to be a lot easier, I promise. A lot more simple than what it sounded like when I explained it. But basically, there's a list. And like the person says, Jesus loved difficult people. Then it says number 6, 11, 15, and 19. So on number 6, you look at what score you gave yourself and you write it down. You know what I'm saying? Then you look at number 11, write down your score for 11, write down your score for number 15, 19. And then it says, you know, basically, that the score columns that reflect the most 4s or 3s will indicate the breakout group that will address your difficulty in your journey to becoming like Jesus. You know, sometimes it's very difficult. It's difficult to look and know where we're mature and where we're immature, and that's what this is designed to do. It's designed to help you see some of the areas that you may be weak in, that some areas that you're probably immature in. And if you have a lot of fours and threes in one of those columns, then you can look and say, I need to go to that class. And then we're going to explain to you in just a minute how the breakout classes are going to work before you see them. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You can be filling those out while I finish talking to you. But what you can also do is you can fill those out in your room tonight. And then it might be a good idea in your rooms tonight, if you're going to discuss some things, what might be a really good idea is for you to ask the people who know you best in your room, do you think I scored myself honestly? Do you think that I know myself very well? Because sometimes we look and the things that we think make us mature, you may look and think, I'm really mature. And the things that we think that make us mature don't make us mature at all. And things that we just assume come with maturity, sometimes they don't. I was telling my dad whether or not to tell this hilarious story about maturity. We have this friend, his name is Gary. And years ago, he was taking a bath with his son. And his son was starting to notice body parts and things like that. And he started asking questions, which, you know, is kind of an awkward situation, like, okay. Well, son, you know, and he told his son, he said, well, someday, you know, you're going to grow up and your body will grow with you like daddy. And as you grow older, then you grow up as well. And so his son, you know, is like, oh, okay. And so a couple weeks go by and they go to the gym and they're working out at this place called Metro Sports. And this man walks by and he notices his son like staring at this guy walking through the shower. And he's like wondering, and the son turns around, looks at him and says, Daddy, that guy must be a lot older than you. and this is a true story. And he didn't have a very good grasp on maturity, on aging, or anything like that. And sometimes we don't have the best grasp on what it means to be mature. We think that if we're old spiritually, if we've been a Christian for years spiritually, well, then I must be mature. Or we think, you know, if I know a lot of scripture, then I must be mature because of that. Or if, you know, you fill in the blank. And sometimes we need to realize the things that we think may make us mature may not be those things. And the things that we don't think about, the things that are holding us back from becoming mature. That's what those classes are designed to do. The survey and the classes are designed to help you focus on areas that you really need to grow in, that you need to mature in, if you're going to become more like Jesus. Now, this last paper that we're handing out is a schedule. Can you put that schedule up real quick? This is a schedule of the classes and the breakouts for the next 2 days. One of the things that you need to know is that only the main sessions will be held in this room or this hotel. The breakout sessions are all going to be held in the Hampton. There's rooms right there when you come in the door, and all of these classes will be held there. And this is the family vacation breakout schedule. Jesus Love Difficult People will be tomorrow. The first class starts at 10. And the classes will be taught twice in a row. So there's going to be 6 classes offered, and you're going to get to go to 4 of them. Is that right? Is that how we did it?
Yes.
All right. I was confusing myself. So at 10 to 11 and from 11 to 12, Ben Mullins will be teaching a class on Jesus Love Difficult People. And this is a good topic for Ben to teach on. He teaches a couple of our classes where people really, at our church, where people really do have to learn to deal with difficult people and love them. And so he's going to be doing that class. From 10 to 11 and 11 to 12, Jesus Was Deeply Secure will be Juan Black and Carol Stringfellow. That is gender-based classes. So if you're a male, then you go to Juan's class. If you're female, then you go to Carol's, all right? And those classes will be from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12. And then the third class is from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12. And it is Jesus Took Personal Responsibility. And that'll be Wes Woodell. Hi, Wes. You want to wave at everybody? Everybody know Wes? Our people know Wes. All right, then on Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock, all the classes will run from 10 to 11, 11 to 12. Jesus Chose What Was Best, and that'll be broken down by gender as well. And TC will be teaching one of those classes, and Hannah Cox will be teaching one of those classes as well. That's my wife. She's hot. The next class is Jesus Submitted to the Father. That's Clint Hill. Where are you at, Clint? That's Clint right there. Every side of Clint. And he's going to be dealing with submission to Jesus, or to God. And then Jesus knew God's word is Dave Edmonds. And Dave is not here yet. Their group is still on the way. And tomorrow, we're going to have a lot more people here than we have right now. We're going to have to get more chairs because, from what I understand, we're going to have probably another 60 to 80 people here that are coming in tonight. And then we actually have more than that because TC and their band's going down tonight too. So tomorrow, it's going to be packed in here. So that's a good thing to see happening. All right, what we're going to do is the worst things that have come up, and we're going to sing a couple songs. And the first song, guys, is kind of designed for you to kind of think about. It is going to be a little bit slower song. I want you to think about the fact that we've got to take it seriously, that there matters.